Joining me is Rick Larson from the EIA staff. And Rick, you are a vice president of communities and all sorts of other things.
Communities and member programs.
That's right.
Officially.
Tell us what that all encompasses.
Yeah, we've got our group has everything from the chapter side to the education side, all of our youth programming, adult programming, museum. Got the communication side reporting to me. So involved in a lot of different things, including AirVenture.
So how's the show been so far?
It's going really well. I think it's going really well. Obviously, you just look at the number of airplanes on the field and what we've got going at this point. I think we're off to an incredibly good start.
Good. You mentioned having the museum under your leadership, and Project 21 is what we're here to talk about today. Tell us a little bit about exactly what the project is and how it got started.
Well, it goes back probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago, starting to look at some of the additional programming that we thought, we could do. And a lot of it had to do with the genesis of it. It actually had to do with a lot of things that go on here at AirVenture, two in particular. One is the Pilot Proficiency Center that operates at the Four Corners. Has just proved to be an incredibly popular thing. They'll put, close to 4,000 to 5,000 people through scenario-based training. And then, KidVenture, which has gone on for many, many years. I know, Steve, you're really familiar with it. And, just a great hands-on programming, for kids. And, I think in a week, we'll put something like 20,000 kids through that. Those were really the two programs that got us thinking about the museum expansion, because we felt like if we could do those here at AirVenture for 1 week, certainly there was the opportunity to go expand that concept and really build that out as a year-round, type of operation.
So what were the next steps as you got into the planning?
Yeah, so, I think it did start with, beginning to at least formulate, what would it look like? What would the programming, look like? Did that make sense on a year-round basis? And that we moved through that pretty quickly, because I think we, felt like we had accomplished a lot of validation here, in terms of what we do at AirVenture. So, it moved into a fundraising, effort. Our donor team did a fantastic job. And most of that was accomplished during 2020, during COVID. And when we got to the point that, we had it covered, we really moved forward. We brought a great architectural firm out of Wausau, Gadorzy, and really working internally with our youth education side and with the pilot proficiency side. Really sat down and started to lay out what do we really think this thing would really look like. And once we got there, we had the green light to move forward. And what you see now is steel up. And over the next 8-9 months, this thing will come to fruition.
You talked about the fundraising program, similar to the original fundraiser for the museum and the expansions that have been done since. None of the funding for this project or the previous projects is coming from member dollars, membership donations. It's all philanthropic.
Yep, absolutely. And that was the intent. We wanted to make sure that what we were raising were incremental dollars, to the organization, and also doing it in a way that we were raising enough dollars along with what the operational plans would be for the expansion so that it's self-sustaining. And that's really important. This is a long-term commitment, and it's a long-term commitment by the organization and the groups that'll be operating and running the programming in the expansion.
It's amazing that there's sort of a recurring thing that I've heard even just in the first few days, and that is bringing in the next generation. We heard this in the air show brief yesterday, yeah, talking about some of the more experienced air show performers kind of bringing in some of the new talent. Same thing with air bosses, and you hear that also just along the flight line of trying to bring more people in. And of course, EIA has worked out a deal with Boeing to get all youth under the age of 18 free admission for this week. So it really continues to build.
Yeah, it does continue to build. And I think, you know, we all know it's incredibly important. And it's great to see the steps, you know, that we've been able to take of recent. I mean, everybody, you know better than anybody, you know, what the impact of the Young Eagles program has been. But, you know, we felt like it's, you know, we've got to go beyond that. And we've got to look at how do we keep kids engaged? How do we, you know, help them explore? What Boeing's doing with free admission, you know, exploration here at AirVenture doesn't get any better. But all of this ties together. So now you go and you look at the museum expansion. You know, the upper floor, 15,000 square feet of it, will be dedicated to youth education. There'll be a series of labs and classrooms. And the whole idea is how do we augment what is not possible in school systems, but we can do here. So you'll see an extension of programming that we're already doing, where we have school groups and scout groups out here. But we also, you know, we'll be looking at evening programming, weekend programming for kids. And again, it's how do we get them to take a deeper dive and hopefully cement that interest in aviation.
Now, will this be totally here, or is there outreach that will go out from the center?
I think, you know, we, you know, through the COVID year here, you know, we began to experiment more with pushing programming out. You know, that was, I think, has proved to be very popular. We launched yesterday a new program called Aero Educate, which we've been working on also for the last 3 years or so. And that really is all what that's about, Steve, is getting it outside beyond the walls here in Oshkosh, both in the classroom but also individually. Again, it's how do we keep kids engaged? How do we get them to explore? How do we get them to develop that strong interest? And how do we get their parents to also then support that interest and show them what's all possible out there in aviation?
Good. Let's shift gears a little bit to the pilot proficiency side. For those of us of this age who want to increase our skills, what will that portion of the building look like?
Well, it starts with, you know, if you go look at, you know, the simulators that we have right now over in the pilot proficiency center here that, frankly, were being used, you know, 1 week a year. We're putting them to use in the pilot proficiency center. There'll be eight fixed simulators, two full motion simulators. Again, classrooms, briefing rooms, debriefing rooms. And the intent is to offer programming that enhances, you know, skills. You know, at this point, we don't necessarily have plans for full-fledged training versus, you know, doing different types of training events, such as what goes on, you know, here, you know, during AirVenture, where you can go in, sit down with a CFI, fly a scenario, and, you know, you'll see much more of that. We would expect to see type clubs taking advantage of it, and, you know, FAA safety seminars, all of those types of things will be home, you know, for that here in Oshkosh.
So the groundbreaking was earlier this spring. Yep. Construction's underway. If you haven't seen it yet, you know, when you drive by the museum, there's just some metal structure up there. It's just the outline. But when can we expect to see this come online?
So, you know, certainly by this time next year, you know, we'll be up and running. We expect the building to be completed in March or so. You know, program in the beginning, you know, shortly thereafter. But, you know, certainly by this time next year, it will be rolling. You know, the intent is to take what we do at the Four Corners with the pilot proficiency side, and during AirVenture, that will be housed in the new facility.
And is there anything else that's going in there, or just the youth component and the pilot proficiency?
Those are the two. We want to make sure we've got dedicated space. Okay. And, you know, it's one of the things right now where, you know, we're sharing space, you know, when it comes to youth ed, and in this case, this will be dedicated space for youth education and for the pilot proficiency side. We think that's really important. If we're going to go do these programs on an ongoing year-round basis, you know, it can't be done in a haphazard way from a facility standpoint, and this will give us absolutely a state-of-the-art facility. It is absolutely going to be beautiful.
Excellent. We'll look forward to seeing that next year. But for folks who are here this year, any new things in the museum that they definitely have to put on their to-see list?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been, you know, a few ads along the way. You know, again, in the middle of COVID, we brought the Lark of Duluth down. Many of you might have, you know, remembered it out here in front of Vintage a couple years ago. That group wanted to see that donated and wanted it here in Oshkosh. So that's hanging as you come in, beautiful airplane. Joe Engel and Jeannie, you know, donated basically their all of their true personal memorabilia from NASA and you know, the history that both of them have. So that's right adjacent to the Borman exhibit, and you know, absolutely worth a walk through.
Sounds good. Rick Larson from EIA, EIA's Project 21, underway, and we'll look forward to seeing it next year. Rick, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
All right.